Our scripture today, if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, is Psalm 51. We're not going to read it all. 1 through 17, I believe, is what we're reading today. While you're opening up your pew Bible, if you'd like, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this day that we're together. Thank you for this time that we can hear your word with one another, the show of grace and mercy that you still guide us and lead us and have given us a lamp for us to follow, your word. We pray that your light shines, challenge us, encourage us, and we pray that the expounding upon the word is also used by you for you. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 51, 1 through 17. To the leader, a psalm of David from the prophet Nathan, when the prophet Nathan came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Watch me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me against you. You alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I have a picture up here for the sermon, an ottoman. Someone said it looked like an ottoman. Do you know what that is? An Alexa. Does anyone on Zoom have their Alexa running? You might want to turn it off. We're probably going to make it run a few times saying her name. In my house, when we talk about Alexa and we don't want Alexa to know we're talking about her, we say Alicia. And she doesn't respond to Alicia. Alexa has been a great device. It was a Christmas present I bought Stephanie a few years ago. And it's worked so well, and she liked it so much that I don't have to get her a Christmas present for another 5 years. She's that happy with it. It's good. I use it for the weather and for the news and alarms and settings. And, you say Alexa, and then you give your response. Whatever request it is that you have. And she'll do her best. And after there's a setting on Alexa that she will remain active for a couple seconds after you talk to her, so you don't have to say her name if you have a follow-up question or a follow-up response. So we've activated this, and every time I have a request for Alexa, like Alexa, how many cows are in New Jersey, whatever, and she'll say whatever it is, and and then I'll say, thank you. And she'll say, you're welcome. And I believe it's good to be nice to Alexa, because she's going to run the world one day, and she'll remember how nice I was to her. And she'll be good to my generation, my kids. Alexa's been very helpful. When you have a response, she responds. When you have a question, she does her best. Now, keep that in mind. We're going to switch over the hard transition to David. Now, David is amongst one of my very favorite characters in the Bible, my very favorite people in the Bible. You cannot undersell, is that the right word, overestimate David's influence in Israel. There has been over 30 kings throughout Israel's history, especially when you count both northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. But David was the best. David was the one that everyone looks to when they think about the golden age, you know, when the kingdom was whole, north and south were together, and they were prosperous, and they were happy, and things were going great. David was the one that people thank for that. David in the Bible was called God's friend and a man after God's own heart. Such high praise for a man. David was far from perfect. He made mistakes. He had shortcomings. And it was a little more than just jaywalking or speeding. He slept with another man's wife, and he killed that man in order to cover it up. I mean, that's fairly serious stuff. He wasn't a great father, not at all. He ignored a lot of things that his children did and paid for it, dearly. And he trusted in his own might at one point in his life as he got older. These are just the things that we know. And yet, still, after these huge grievances, David is still called God's friend, a man after God's own heart. He always returned to God, always sought forgiveness. In today's world of social media, if it existed back in David's time, he would get skewered. The people would, can you believe our king slept with somebody else? Can you believe he murdered that person's husband? Let's protest him. Let's drive him out. You know, I mean, I don't know how much David would last. Social media is, for the most part, not total, but it's a cesspool. It's all negative, and that's what it focuses on, the negative. David made an enormous mistake with Bathsheba, and that would define David for his entire life if it were up to social media. And our psalm today, Psalm 51, one of my very, very favorite psalms. I read it when I was at a particularly difficult point in my life, when I was 19, 20, sometime at camp. Is right after one of those tough times in David's life. It's one of the few verses, I think there's 11 psalms, that have this little description, story description above it to show you, you know, when it was written. Right after he had slept with Bathsheba, Nathan came to him and told him, you know, God knows, and you're going to be punished for it. And David, this is his apology prayer. Is asking for forgiveness. In fact, the first 12 verses are requests to God. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Have mercy on me. I know my transgressions, sins ever before me. You alone have I sinned, so that it justified in your sentence. I was guilty from the very big beginning. Sinner from the very big beginning. You desire truth. Purge me. Wash me, let me hear joy, let the bones you've crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, blot out my iniquities, create in me a clean heart, put a new and right spirit in me. Don't cast me away, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore joy, sustain me with a willing spirit. I've prayed this prayer. I'm sure many of us have prayed this prayer. Lord, I'm sorry. Can't believe I did that. I'm sorry I did that. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I've fallen short. I didn't do what it is that you want me to. I'm sorry. Over and over again. David, above all else, though sometimes his selfishness and his lust and his desires and the temptations, they get better of him. Above all else, he wants God. And anything that takes a chance to take that away, he wants to run from that, though he ran into it. I said once before that Psalms is a journal entry for the church, a diary. This prayer is not just unique to David. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I get the feeling that David and I aren't the only ones who prayed a prayer similar to this, who have beseeched God and fell on our knees and our face and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me from myself. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the person I am from the very beginning. I have been nothing but sin." And God responds in God's way and in God's time, and the guilt and the shame, the memory might stay, but the feeling of forgiveness starts to seep in. And the thing is what I think separates David from a lot of us, sometimes me included, is that once that feeling of guilt and shame is gone and forgiveness has set in, then it's great. Feel good again, feel back to ourselves, we get on with life. But for David, that's not where it ends. We oftentimes stop at verse 12, but verse 13, I think, is what sets David apart. Then he says, "After I'm forgiven, because I'm forgiven, I'll teach transgressors your ways. Sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. Open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." In other words, "Lord, forgive me, and I will share with everyone you. Forgive me, and I will live my life in such a way that points only to you." We see this very psalm at work in Paul's life. Paul, who was a sinner and on the wrong path, Jesus, who met him on the road to Damascus, changed his life, and Paul said, "Lord, my life is yours." I love this verse because it's the church. It is what the church is built upon. This very idea is at work in this church and in churches all across the world every day, at least it should be. This is the why we're here. I had a pastor that I highly respect. He did the funeral for my son, Elijah's twin. Many of you know that already. John Kayampa, he was a pastor up at Community Methodist Church for a little while. He's no longer there, retired now. When he did a sermon, that I remember, I don't remember the sermon well, but I remember how he entered into it. He greeted everyone. "I'm going to greet you, and I would like you to respond to the greeting," okay? I think you'll know how to respond to the greeting. He would start off saying, "Good morning, saints." I'll try that again. "Good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners." You should have said good morning to both. Yes, through Jesus Christ, we've been made saints. We're also sinners. We're both. It's not an and-or sort of thing. We're not sinners one day and saints the next. We're sinners every day. Since, as David said, since birth. Through Jesus Christ, we've been made saints. The sinner part's still there. We still struggle. We're still trying. But Christ has made us whole, has forgiven us of our sins, and has helped us, give us the strength to do what we need to do next, which is respond to the forgiveness in our lives. An enormous theme in the Bible, and there's lots, it's a good one, is Abraham. We are blessed to be a blessing. You ever hear that? Popular phrase, very good. We're also forgiven to forgive. We're also loved to love. We're equipped to serve. God gives us things not just so we can revel in them and stay there, but so that we can use those things to serve others. The church, we are sinners saved by grace so that we may love with the grace that we've been forgiven. This is Psalm 51. You don't delight in sacrifice. Sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. David's sin was not without consequence, but God's love for him never waned. David went on to continue to serve God in so many wonderful ways. We are sinners, yes. Through Jesus Christ, we are saints and have the opportunity to give what Christ has given to us. And I thank God for that. I'll leave you with this benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.